It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alva, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, love the lies, feline, with a death wish.
Welcome back to the show. We will get to the college football semifinal that was the Cotton Bowl. Hell, there are highlights on my TV right now, or at least the station TV. But we got some big news regarding the football team who plays their home games in that building. Sean, hit the horn. Mike McCarthy, out as the Cowboys head coach. I guess they couldn't come to some agreement. Maybe it was never in the cards. There was some reporting that maybe it would be a 1 to 2 year deal. Jerry would give him, hey, kind of like you, Mike, but I'm not going to commit to you long term. Well, whatever happened, they couldn't agree to the length of a contract. So McCarthy will pursue other opportunities. I'm sure Mike McCarthy had some feelers out there and figured out that some team wants me. The rest of us might be saying, why? But some team wants him, so he likely has a deal or potentially has a deal somewhere else where he feels more job security than doing a Cowboy thing where it's like 1 or 2 years and everyone hates me here anyway, so just fire me if things don't go well.
Mike McCarthy is good enough to where he's like, you can't jerk me around like this, Jerry Jones. Like, I'm not awesome. I imagine he doesn't say this. It's like, I'm not Bill Belichick. I'm also not Jason Garrett, all right?
I got a Super Bowl.
Yeah, you can do this, dude. Some other dumb owner is going to give me the full ride.
The Bears really like me.
For some reason, yeah.
So, now that that's out of the way, the Cowboy fans are probably celebrating the fact that Jerry was forced to get out of his own way because McCarthy said, nah. And now he has to go hire someone else. Will Jerry go big name? College coach?
Marcus Freeman? Yeah, maybe.
Bears there's someone closer. There's someone closer.
Sonny Dykes?
Someone who played a game in the stadium and wound up the loser.
Ah.
You don't think Jerry might go, huh? State of Texas. He's brought Texas back to prominence. We know Sark. We don't know. Allegedly, Sark's name has been in NFL circles. He spent time in the NFL, so it wouldn't be too foreign for him.
Yeah.
Will Jerry make a run at Sark? Just to see. Maybe Sark says, no, God, I don't want to coach there. I love Texas. Whatever he's going to say to get himself another contract.
Do I want to coach Arch Manning or
Dak Prescott?
Dak Prescott. In a salary cap league. Do I want to draw up plays for Dak Prescott to throw to Jalen Tolbert?
CeeDee Lamb?
You're not going to be able to throw to him all the time. See what that got them this year.
Go draft another. Hey, trade for Tyreek Hill.
That is a very Cowboys move.
It is. I was thinking it would be a very L.A. Raiders move. Now, that team is in Vegas, but in my head, trading for Tyreek Hill is a very like L.A. Raiders move, but the next closest thing is the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Trading for Tyreek Hill and going, hey, we need to get CeeDee some help. Sure, we got problems everywhere, but you know what we need? We need another star wide receiver.
Oh, and he's turning 31 this year?
That's part of the equation, too.
Sign me up.
Get the older wide receiver. Get the star wide receiver in here. Hey, look.
31.
We didn't want to pay older Derrick Henry far less than that, and look what he's doing. Tyreek with Dak and CD and Ferguson, bring him in.
A 31-year-old speed wide receiver who's maybe 5'10"? Hell yeah.
It's not close to 5'10", but your point remains.
I think he might be listed.
He might be, but he's like 5'8". Whose route tree gets smaller and smaller as he ages? An unwillingness to make catches over the middle? Quit on his team in the final game of the regular season? You're my guy, pal. You are that guy, pal. It's the perfect Cowboy move. I don't know what the salary cap situation is, but if they could make it happen, I bet you they would try. But they're going to have a new coach first. And does that coach want to deal with Tyreek Hill? I guess it all depends. Or maybe they go to Texas' former conference and go hire a certain Sanders. What will the Cowboys do?
Shiloh Sanders.
As a head coach. Shiloh will wind up as like a analyst for the Cowboys when Deion makes. He ain't going to be a safety.
Practice squad. He can get some practice squad checks.
Deion will probably get him on the practice squad and then go, hey, it's better if you stay here. As Deion, no elevations.
As Deion Sanders Jr. teaches him how to use Adobe Premiere so he gets ready for his next profession.
Adobe Premiere, a tablet. So he can start showing safeties what they should have done on the tablet when he's a defensive analyst. So there it is. Mike McCarthy out with the Cowboys. Although they tried hard to bring him back, no decision or no contract could be agreed upon. So it feels like Mike McCarthy ain't long to be out of a job. And if the Bears go hire him, sorry, Bears fans. At least you have Caleb Williams to lean on. That's where we stand.
Yeah. He won a Super Bowl with a young Aaron Rodgers.
That's right.
Never mind that a young Aaron Rodgers is a long time ago because now he's like 41 years old.
But he did win that Super Bowl.
In the stadium where the Cowboys play.
That's
true. He mentioned
true.
That. Nah. Every time his job got called into question, he mentioned that.
I won a Super Bowl here, remember?
Here. I won a Super Bowl here. Physically here. Not with you guys.
Now, the likelihood of me duplicating that and winning a Super Bowl anywhere with this team, low.
Yeah.
But remember, my greatest achievement happened in this building. Just remember that.
Mine and Ryan Day's.
Well, Ryan Day has a shot to surpass what currently is his greatest achievement by winning a title against Notre Dame. And that leads us to what happened. Eric, I see you. We'll get to you. That leads us to what happened on Friday. We talked about this going into that game, that semifinal. Could Texas settle in? Could they survive the first punch or maybe not even have it connect? Because the fear was, much like Ohio State did to Tennessee and Oregon, that they would jump out ahead, Texas would be down two scores before they knew it, and the game would get away from them before they could punch back. And it almost got there. It was 7-0 pretty quickly. Texas got stopped on a drive. The Texas was great early moving the ball between their 30 and Ohio State's 40. They're pretty good at that early. And they got stopped on a fourth down. Ohio State goes right down and scores, and it feels like, oh no. We're in for a laugher. And thanks to a turnover and some penalties, Texas found a way to stay in it and eventually got going a little bit. But of course the biggest play that everyone wants to focus on is the sweep that came from a second and goal when Texas had what could have been four shots from the one after the pass interference penalty. That was it. Who drew it? Which was Moore who was on the outside? He got held. Was it Golden?
I think it was. Well, that was the one where two guys.
Well, there were two pass interference penalties on that sequence. Yeah, but one on first and goal that put it at the one, was that a Golden force of a pass interference where he got grabbed running a slant?
I think so.
So you think to yourself, all right, four shots from the one, Texas will get in and tie the game. And then you start to remember, oh, yeah, Texas is terrible in red zone. They're awful. For all of Sark's genius, he has not found a way to be efficient inside the 10-yard line.
Not only is Texas not good, Ohio State's literally the best red zone defense.
And I think he got spooked. He brought in the big guys on first and goal and got stuffed. In fact, I think lost yardage. He telegraphed what he was going to do. I'm going to bring my big guys in. I'm going to bring my defensive lineman in to block. And then I'm going to bring my big back in. And we're going to try to run it down your throat. That didn't work. And then he goes, oh, I'm going to telegraph something else by bringing my small, fast guys in. And hopefully they would be able to block on the perimeter. They could not. It was a disaster of a sequence, and eventually it led to the strip sack by Jack Sawyer that was returned for a touchdown. So that's 2 years in a row where Texas plays in a semifinal and has a shot late to either win the game or tie it. They don't come through. Maybe you think the common denominator is Quinn Ewers. Maybe you think it's Sark. Either way, you make a college football semifinal 2 years in a row, there's not a lot wrong with your program. You just need to get over the hump. it was unfortunate the way that played out, considering what it felt like was going to happen. Sure, you pointed out Ohio State's great in that situation, but you're Texas.
Yeah.
If you told, like, I'll give it to you this way. They've invested quite a bit in that offensive line. Money, resources, all the things to get that offensive line where it is. If you ask Texas what the backbone of their program is, whether they believe it or not, they'll tell you the way we play at the line of scrimmage. And that's kind of how everyone's built who wants to be really good. So if you told Sark or asked Sark before any game, no matter who was on the other side, if I give you four shots from the one, do you think you can run it in and go score a touchdown? He would say, yes. I got Banks. I got Williams. I got Majors. I got them all. We're going to score. And I think that first play shook him. And maybe the reputation of Ohio State shook him. And he goes, you know what? I think I got to try to trick this team because I don't think I can run it up in there to try to win. And he, I won't say he outsmarted himself, but he played into another of Ohio State's strength. They're really fast.
Damn,
they have a lot of strengths, unfortunately.
Damn, these guys are good.
They have a lot of strengths.
Oh, Caleb Downs is the, oh, man.
Yeah, so I don't want to get after him too much. The sweep is not a great play call. I would have tried to run it down their throats.
At least on second down. Try it again.
Or maybe keep the heavy formation guys in see if you can fool them.
Yeah.
Get a gunner helm to leak out, see if you can find a way that way. But if they
tried to do the leak out with like and throw to Baron Sorrell, like they tried to throw to a defensive tackle,
yeah,
I would have punched my TV.
Yeah, I want a pass catcher out there.
Yeah, okay, good.
Someone who can sell it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm not looking for one of your defensive line to make a play.
That works against UTEP.
Yeah,
right?
If you want to run that,
we're not doing that against Ohio.
You want to run that to embarrass Oklahoma because you're killing them. Cool, but in this situation, have Gunnar Helm. You're probably your best pass catcher, at least particularly in that situation.
With Matthew Goldenherd, yes.
Yes. But particularly in that situation, on the goal line, 1 yard line, or at that point maybe 1.5 yard line, let him be that guy. He did not, and then eventually it led to the strip sack. So I'll let you give maybe not a season review, but after the game, knowing
how close
you were, the health of the program is clearly good.
Yeah.
Do you believe there is a clear deficiency anywhere? Because you watch your team play. Pretty much play Ohio State to a standstill until the final sequence.
I mean, you think they don't give up a 75-yard touchdown on a screen pass the last play of the...
It was going to be 7-7 going into the half.
And you don't fumble six to Jack Sawyer. It's like a tied game right there.
As much as we talked about, a lot of people talked about the difference between the two, it was big explosive plays you didn't expect coming in weird situations that led to them that proved to be the difference. So there's no question about how healthy that program is. Do you think there's any deficiencies anywhere that needs to be fixed?
Just some like small stuff, you know, kind of transfer portal, spring window stuff. They're going to have to ride the portal defensive tackle train again. Thank you. Thank you, Bill Norton, for all you've done. But he is out of eligibility.
Mm-hmm.
Lole also out of it. So they did that last year. They're probably going to have to do it again. As far as like specifically the can't punch it in, at the goal line thing, I do wonder how much, and I'm not absolving Steve Sarkisian because, as you mentioned, he had NFL play calling experience. Do you want to guess how the 2017 Falcons season ended? It was on a goal line.
Yeah, it's been a consistent
thing. It might have been 2018. I forgot which year, but one of them ended on a goal line. I do wonder how having Arch, just having a running threat at your quarterback, changes the math at the goal line. Also, if CJ Baxter is healthy, because he was kind of the bigger back, he was also the better back he was a better receiving back, he's better everything than Trey Wisner. And Trey Wisner's good, but he's not exactly a thumper. They kind of lost their big back there. So as far as the goal line thing, not great on the resume. Would like to have one go the other way, but it's not like some systemic issue or anything that I'm super worried about. And yeah, I see, I forgot which sports book it was, but they have the favorite for next year's title, and Texas is the favorite for next year's title. And I don't know about all that. I would like to see Arch Manning play a Power 5 school.
Yeah.
One time.
Yeah.
But that I think overall speaks to the health of the program. And like I told one of my friends, like when we were there, we saw Charlie Strong go 5-7 every year. And then, oh, a breath of fresh air, Tom Herman went 7-6. To lose in the college football playoff, like, not the worst thing in the world. I can on Monday say this actually isn't the worst thing to ever happen to me.
Yeah, it hurt in the moment, understood, but yeah, as far as the prognosis and the future of the program, in pretty good shape.
They lost to Maryland
two times in a row. Yeah, lost to Maryland twice. Have a loss to Kansas.
Not this version of Kansas,
who's a little scary depending on the year.
Ask your older brother about Kansas in 2016.
Yeah.
In 2016, they lost to Kansas. That was my second year there. They lost to Kansas. My third year there, they lost to Maryland. My fourth year there, they lost to Maryland again. That's what time we were on back then.
Trust, I've got a Middle Tennessee State loss by multiple scores on my current coach's resume. Trust, I know dark times. And hell, I dealt with Al Golden, who might win a national title as a defensive coordinator.
Al Golden seems pretty good.
As a DC, I'm sure he'll get a head coaching job someplace again. He's probably on that path. Lazy J, I see you. You want to talk Rockets. Eric, I see you. You want to talk about what Eric wants to talk about. So we'll get to you guys when we come back. Anyone else want to get in? 713-780-3776. We talked Texans. We talked college football. Anything you want. If you missed it, Mike McCarthy out as a Cowboys coach. We'll have more when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
I haven't worked at a lot of radio stations, just a couple. And maybe this ends, I think it just ends at 12, but I don't know that anyone never closes the door to their broadcast studio more than at least a 7 to 12 block. I know Paul likes the door closed. I'm not sure about 3 to 6. I assume they do too. But in fact, the door was closed and Lance walked over there and opened it during the morning show. I have some reasons why he did it. I'm not going to divulge, but the door's never closed. And I don't know why. I guess I just adopted it because those guys do it, but I don't like the door closed either. Maybe I want to see if there's any danger out there and I need to make a move. I'm not sure.
I think part of it is that when you guys start the show, no one's here.
That's definitely part of it, except for down the hall.
Yeah.
The Power 105. Yeah.
But I think that because we're the same way on the bullpen. On Saturdays.
Why close the door?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Although sometimes we will see like someone from Power walk down the hall, and then we'll get like, maybe we should quiet the nonsense a little bit. We're more thoughtful than the morning show.
There has definitely been a time where we have been yelling during a break, like back and forth, because I'm not walking in here.
Yeah.
And you've heard a shh from down the hall. It's happened. All right, let's get to these calls. Eric, what do you want to talk about? Eric, what's up?
Hey, guys. Great million-dollar 30-minute response to the Longhorns play. Not needed with a 5-cent answer. Let's give the ball to Andrew Manning to run it in. Also, what about Kellen Moore as the new Cowboys head coach since McCarthy's out? And is it true I heard that George Taylor's going to start an OnlyFans? I'll hang up the list.
You didn't hear that. I don't know if it's true or not, but I know you did. You did. From who?
That's true.
From who?
From Jason Whitlock.
Jason Whitlock told you that Joy Fay was going to start an OnlyFans. Did you believe him?
It was on X.
Okay.
It was also on True Social.
Yeah, I'm sure that makes a lot of sense. All right. Thanks, Eric. Speaking of that
peanut butter skin.
Beyond that, let's get to what Cam Newton said, and then we'll get to Lazy J. Since Eric brought it up, Kellen Moore, while Sean's finding it, Kellen Moore as the head coach for the Cowboys. Why? Why do you want to do that? Why do you want to pull what Jerry's already done? Didn't he bring Jason Garrett on as a head coach after he was like an assistant? Now, at least Kellen Moore left and he would come back. But why do you want to do that? By the way, Kellen Moore is the OC in Philadelphia. They have a great offensive line. They have great talent. and Saquon certainly really good. But Kellen Moore ain't doing anything revolutionary there, and I don't know how he would be as a head coach. Dak was good, but do you really want to do that? You want Jerry to lean back with something he's comfortable with? Is that going to turn out great for you? Have you grabbed it?
Yeah, I got it.
Lazy J, hang on. We'll get to you here in the segment. You heard Eric lie and say that Jason Whitlock said Joy Taylor's going to get an OnlyFans. Fine, whatever. Here's Cam Newton in response to Jason Whitlock with a very pertinent question in all this. You heard Sean play the peanut butter skin thing. Here's Jason Whitlock being admonished by Cam Newton.
Whether Joy did what she did, the accusations are true or not, stay in your lane, Jason. All right? Because, bro, like, you're having an outer body experience, and it's time for me to put you back in your body to let you know.
Yeah.
Bro, you're not that guy, pal.
Yeah.
Joy, is she a very attractive woman? Absolutely. And it's not for me to make inappropriate statements, Jason. Like, all right, let's put it like this, since we want to get personal. Like, who you f***? Who you sleeping with?
What she look like?
Like, bring her to the forefront. Yeah. Him to the forefront. Because now you got to be open.
You got to be, huh?
You know what I'm saying? And it ain't no shade, but I'm just keeping it a bug. Yeah. This is a person who's, bro, like, been a villain in the industry for years. So I'm like, bro, we want to see her. Don't say no inappropriate things like that and not be questioned about that.
That is a question that no one asks that is the most important question in all of this. Jason Whitlock talked about his opportunity, his alleged opportunity with Joy Taylor, like it was almost a foregone conclusion. Look, I know what I'm capable of. That's why I wouldn't want her around. Cam Newton asking the question of who are you having sex with since you feel so confident in your ability is the perfect question, because it's the unsaid question I think we all had. Oh, no matter what you think of Joy Taylor, oh, Jason Whitlock thinks he can get her. Who are you having sex with? Who are you with?
That since peanut butter skin.
Since you think you're so capable of bagging that peanut butter skin, who are you actually with? Who? Now, you have fame. You have money. So it's probably easier for you than some.
Tiny hat.
That too. Cam, maybe Cam's issue is he loves a big hat, and Jason Whitlock loves a tiny hat.
What if this is all fedora related?
You never know where the basis of a beef will come from. But I don't listen to a lot of Cam Newton stuff, but that's dead on. Who are you with if you think you can bag Joy Taylor? All right, let's get to Lazy J. He wants to talk Rockets. What's up, Lazy J?
Hey, Dale, good morning. Yeah, I wanted to get in and talk some Rockets, but hold up. Cam Newton, he needs to stay out for Uncle Tom, Jason Whitlock. Didn't he cheat on his girl and then take her on long walks talking about what he needs to do or what can he do better for him not to cheat? Like, come on now. Cam needs to go sit his ass down. But I wanted to get in and talk about the Rockets, man. I want to get your thoughts on maybe the trade deadline coming up soon. What do you think about in Milwaukee, Middleton going to the bench for the Bucks? Do you think that maybe the Rockets maybe go back down that road again? I know they were trying to get him, I think, last year or the year before. Maybe trading, and then what do you think about Jason Tate? He's been playing a lot lately, been looking good. You think he's going to be maybe one of the big pieces? Well, I know he's not a big piece of the Rockets, but I think he'd be good to be going somewhere else. And now, RIP to McCarthy, thank God he's gone. And then Real Madrid, man, I don't know what happened with them, man. Golly. Love the show, fellas.
Appreciate it. As far as Middleton going to the bench and whether they would trade him, what do the Bucks think they are? If the Bucks think they are still a title contender, and I don't know, I think there are 5 or 6 in the East right now. Everything's like from 4 to 7 or 8. It's about a game and a half between it. So depending on the night, depending on who played the night and if they won, that can fluctuate a couple spots. 1 through 3 is pretty settled with it being the Cavs, the Celtics, and the Knicks right now.
So, Bucks number 6 right now, but like you said, they're a game back of 4 and a game ahead of 8.
Yeah. So if the Bucks with Giannis and Dame and Middleton to the bench think they're a title contender, I don't think they're trading him for a package Not that Jason Tate would be the primary piece, but I don't think they would be trading Jason. I don't think they'd be trading Chris Middleton if they still believe. Now, they're 5-5 in their last 10, so they haven't been playing well lately. The trade deadline's February 6th, so there's still some time for them to either figure out if they're going to be good or not. But I don't think they're trading Middleton away unless they're getting first-round picks back. And are the Rockets willing to give up first-round picks for Chris Middleton? Considering they are playing right now without Jabari and Tari, which is part of the reason Jason Tate is playing, maybe that's a team who doesn't think Chris Middleton's enough to give away some of their trade assets. We know they're in star hunting mode. Middleton is a good complimentary piece at this point, but he's a guy who can't stay healthy. It's one of the reasons they moved him to the bench. They don't want to put that type of stress on him, and I guess they're trying to ramp him up to hope he's available to play bigger minutes in the playoffs. What else did he ask about? Yeah, he's happy McCarthy's gone. Real Madrid lost.
By the way, Middleton for Jimmy Butler does not work on the trade machine.
No.
Because they're both, or not they're both. The Bucks are hard cap, mm-hmm. or they're over the second apron.
And they can't aggregate salary.
Yeah, so they have to trade one player and get less money back,
yes.
essentially. Yes. And Jimmy Butler makes way more than, not way more, but he makes like $12 million.
Enough more where they can't get it done. Yeah. So, and that's more about, because Jimmy Butler, according to reports, does not want to play in Milwaukee or Memphis. It's come down to like Phoenix and that's it.
I thought it was all 29 teams.
What happened? That is,
What happened, Jimmy?
That was an initial barb at the Heat, it feels like now. Now it's more, hey, I want to go play in Phoenix because they are a team who is willing to give me that big-time extension where, at this point, we have not heard anyone else willing to do that. So Phoenix is a team, and it can't be about winning right now because Phoenix, not good.
Yeah, and, like, I know another team that was, you know, people were just connecting the dots and thought that they would be interested is the Memphis Grizzlies, who are, again, battling out for
the two.
Southwest Division
and
supremacy.
We'll see them in town tonight.
Also the two seed, yeah. And I think that got shot down, too. It's like, Jimmy Butler doesn't want to play for Memphis. I'm
because
like, why not?
Yeah. Why don't you want to win? That's a team who may be a Jimmy Butler away from being a serious contender to win a title. But Memphis, you can assume, has not committed to giving him all the money he would want. So he doesn't want to go there either. Now, he would play there. But you can never be quite sure what Jimmy Butler's response will be when he's in a place that won't give him his money. When he's in a place that isn't his first choice.
Yeah.
He may have to come off of it. Now, we are two games away from him coming off a suspension, so that'll be interesting. If the games, and they look like they will be played in L.A., are played because the Heat are in L.A. the next couple games, then he would be back for their home game against Denver. Maybe. That's when he's coming off a suspension. So, the Rockets are a team that rightfully so doesn't appear to be interested in Jimmy Butler, and that might be a team who may make a smaller trade than a bigger one.
I think that's more likely.
Helping their team out.
I think it's more likely that they get involved with the, I mean, probably the biggest guy that they could get, or not could get, but would, I could see them getting maybe Cam Johnson. Even then, I don't know about if they would actually, because they're just not as desperate, and so they're probably not going to offer as much as like OKC, who can offer more and is probably a little bit more desperate since they are a team closer to winning a title than the Rockets are right now. But yeah, I think most likely is a Buddy Hield type guy. Maybe not specifically Buddy Hield, but a shooter off the bench. Reggie Bullock last year.
Would you give up salary to match plus a picker, like two first rounders? Because I think that's what the Nets want for him to acquire Cam Johnson.
Maybe you can do instead of a first round pick. How about Cam Whitmore? Or, I mean, he would basically.
Well, he might be in the trade to make salary help make salary match.
Yeah, I mean, he would basically be starting over Jabari Smith is kind of what I'm guessing. Although, I mean, Thompson, maybe he changes us. So, I don't know.
Their team that I think needs a wing shooter, and Cam Johnson will provide that. I think they are that type of guy away from being really scary. They're interesting right now.
Yeah.
And when they get good shooting from their backcourt, it changes their game. But now Jalen Green's on a hot streak right now, but his numbers against what you would consider, at least by the numbers, top 10 defenses, hasn't been good. So I think now Cam Johnson isn't such a small piece, but at least for this particular trade deadline, I think that would be the type of guy they're acquiring, because those big time trading for a superstar type deals are very hard to get done, and it feels like more likely to happen during the middle of a off season than they are during a regular season. Although Kevin Durant, I think, has been traded during a regular season, but that's a guy making a clear trade demand where the team almost has no choice. I think he made two. They talked him out of it one time, and then he said, yeah, I'm out. And obviously Kyrie went too. If this is just simply making a trade for a really good player, a great player, it feels like those take a little bit longer than, hey, we've got an idea. Let's get this done by February. Because you kind of got to convince the star to make the trade happen. So Cam Johnson, wouldn't mind him here. I think would be a great fit here. But the Rockets right now are just fine. And they got the Grizz coming in here a little bit later. All right. We'll go to break. We got a couple more things to get to before we wrap it up. Anyone else want to get in? 713-780-3776. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
In a world that existed when LaVar Ball was making the rounds, who could have foreseen the day where his least favorite son, by internet metrics, not LaVar's least favorite son, by how the internet has judged the Ball brothers,
okay, good.
Would sign a music contract that could be worth up to $13 million with $8 million guaranteed and with full ownership of his music and his own record label? That's what LiAngelo Ball has signed after the hit single, what's it called, Tweaker, that has got everyone excited. And it's mostly because LiAngelo Ball made this. I think that's a lot of the vibe. Like, it's the fact that it comes from Jello Ball helps.
The fact it came from LiAngelo Ball and not, like, Manny Fresh,
yes,
I think, is the what gets everybody.
It could very well have been a Manny Fresh song. If you told me Manny Fresh made the song, I'd be like, oh, yeah, you're right. But it's a Ball Brothers collab. Like, LiAngelo, LaMelo, and Lonzo were all part of making the song. And LiAngelo has turned that into a record deal that could possibly be up to $13 million. And he is part of the Born to Ball music group. But Universal and Def Jam have come together. And Shams is breaking the story because it's basketball related in some way, so Shams breaks it.
Yeah, it is basketball adjacent at the very least.
So there it is.
I like that.
$8 million guaranteed.
How much is Lonzo making?
Lonzo signed a big deal, remember?
He's probably, but he's got to be at the end of that.
Yeah, I think he's an unrestricted free agent after this year.
Yeah, this is the last year.
Okay, and here's a question.
$21 million.
This is the question then. Now, LaMelo, he's injured all the time too, but healthier, and he's got a giant deal himself. Going forward, will Lonzo Ball make more money over the course of his NBA career, or will LiAngelo over the course of his music career?
I wasn't even gonna go that long term, because obviously, like, Lonzo only has so many years of playing basketball. LiAngelo Ball can make music for the rest of his life.
But making basketball money guaranteed.
It's the tortoise and the hare.
Yeah, the bag could be much bigger if Lonzo ever proved he could be healthy. But I don't know a problem.
I don't know the splits on that. I don't know if he's in a 360 deal.
Yeah, or and does LiAngelo have more good music in him?
Does that too? That you know what that is that's probably the bigger what we
deal.
Lead with.
That's not, the bigger deal.
Not who all gets a cut at Universal.
Yeah, the question is, does he have more than Tweaker in him?
Okay, how about this? Is Lonzo Ball's next contract greater than, and I'll just use the biggest number because no one in the NBA really signs for $8 million anymore.
Yeah.
$13 million for Lonzo Ball's next contract.
So you're talking like mid-level exception money.
That is
non-taxpayer mid-level exception money.
Yeah, that is non-taxpayer mid-level exception in that area. It'll go up this year, actually, because the new TV deal money starts trickling in. Mm-hmm. So it'll probably be a taxpayer mid-level range.
So your question is, will Lonzo's deal be bigger than that?
Yes.
Not this upcoming deal.
Okay.
No. I don't know that Lonzo gets that deal.
19 games played this season.
I think they've moved him back to the starting lineup now.
Not yet. He has not started a game yet. But.
I don't know. I saw a tweet that maybe that's coming from the Bulls officially. I'm not sure. So, no. I don't think Lonzo. I think Lonzo, now he has plenty of runway to prove that he can stay healthy the rest of the way, and if he turns himself into or turns himself back into an NBA starter, then I will be proven wrong.
Is he not quite yet? Because I think he does actually have to prove it a little bit to get to this level. But is he kind of this generation's Sean Livingston? Is that a
if he turns it around?
Yeah,
yes.
Like that's probably what.
It's not a bad comp.
The way he makes more money than his brother going forward is that he turns into Sean Livingston.
Yes, who may never be a star guard again, but can be maybe more than a spot starter, a veteran. I don't know that Lonzo has a reputation of being a bad guy, which is what's part of help Livingston hang around. People love Sean Livingston. So if Lonzo has that as part of his resume, good guy to have on your team, yeah, there's a real shot. Will he ever be... I'm not even talking about best player on the team, but a lead point guard who you can depend on for 30-plus minutes a night to give you 15-8 or whatever the numbers might be. I'm not sure about that.
Nah.
But if the knee holds up, there's a shot.
Yeah. What he needs to do, he's been I'm just looking at his numbers right now. Very good. And this is his best actually, because he never shoots them. Never mind. I was going to say, this is by far his best two-point shooting year of his career, but he takes one two-point shot per game, and so it's probably a lot of layups and stuff.
Yeah.
He will need to get the three-pointer back on track. He's shooting 32% this year. Before he got hurt in Chicago, over 35 games, he was shooting 42% from three. The year before in New Orleans, 37. So he probably needs to get closer to, 36, 37 for him to really make that money, especially if he's not penetrating whatsoever, or at least penetrating to look to shoot whatsoever. So maybe he's more late career Rajon Rondo than Sean Livingston. Sean Livingston, easier comp because of the horrific injuries. Yes.
And a big point guard as well. Now, yeah, the Bulls tweeted this out yesterday. Lonzo Ball is in the starting lineup for the first time in nearly 3 years. His incredible comeback story continues.
As we were talking about this, Joe George did walk through and whisper to me, Lonzo is back. So I can't confirm.
Like Texas is back or Lonzo's back just playing?
You know, for Lonzo's sake, I hope so.
Oh, that's not an insult to Texas. I know I know the Tessitore thing is funny, but they are back as far as being a year-to-year title contender. And if Lonzo is back at that level, then okay. Then I'm going to be wrong about how much money he makes compared to Jello. You know what? Maybe not this upcoming year, but I'm going to lean Lonzo. Because NBA money's easier to make
than
music money.
If he signs like two $15 million contracts, gets to 30, it's going to be hard for Jello to make that.
You got to be a legit star.
He needs
to make that
more
type
hits.
Of money in music.
He needs to tour a lot.
Yeah, he got to make that touring money. And does Jello have enough music for a tour?
Not yet.
I don't think
so. Not yet, but
we will see.
If I know Jello Ball, I know he's in the kitchen.
You don't know.
I know
Jello
he's in the kitchen right now.
Cooking.
That guy's always got his pin in the pad. Always.
You know that, huh?
Yeah.
You know that. Okay. We'll see. We'll see where Jello Ball goes, but I don't know if I don't know what else you can say other than that's a remarkable story that the third of the Ball brothers has found a way to make money outside of basketball and do it through music with a song that people like. Actually, like, not in a TikTok-y, viral, we're going to make fun of you type of way. Like, hey, this is actually pretty good.
I think it's like 25%.
That's part of it.
But it's not in the we're making fun of you, this is,
but are we playing this
is actually bad. And I think the ironic part of it is that what we started with is that the song sounds straight out of 2004.
Yes, but is it getting played in locker rooms across the country?
Right now,
yes. If people didn't like it.
Yeah, it is.
No, if people didn't like
it. Oh,
yeah. People, it was simply a bit to make fun of it.
I got you.
Yeah. I don't think so.
It wouldn't be.
I don't think so. So credit to that, man. Credit to the Ball family for all the stuff LeVar was saying.
Can't knock the hustle.
All his kids, multimillionaires at this point. And as much as a showman as he was, you still gotta develop. And that's what they've done.
I think
in different avenues, but they still got it done.
I think for old time's sake, LeVar Ball has to go on the Colin Cowherd show just to feel something.
I think he should go on tour to pat himself on the back.
Yeah, go on First Take.
Although,
do what he was doing in 2017. Just do for like a weekend. Honestly, just do it now. Dude, strike while the iron's hot. I was gonna say like wait or something. Wait until like Super Bowl, the week between the Super Bowl week.
Oh, LiAngelo at Radio Row. You don't see that
he's
happening.
He's gonna perform Super Bowl after parties.
Ah, Pro Bowl.
The after parties.
Oh, the after parties.
Yeah,
I can see it.
Like the Fanatics after party.
Oh yeah, LiAngelo's doing Tweaker at one of the Super Bowl parties.
Like, Lil Wayne doing more songs.
Not invited, but just doing songs to prove that hey. You should have picked me. All right, we're done for the day. We got to shred him shroud to start the show. I think Sean was a little lenient in his grading. But hey, CJ Stroud, a winner for the second consecutive year in the wild card round. Chiefs coming up next. So since we're done, what does that mean, Sean?
That peanut butter skin.
I like that I have a menu now.
I'm glad you do. It's always a surprise for me. Galant and George up next, followed by the Killer Bees. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.